This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you from Chicago, USA. With your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here, live from the NVP studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. More people are cutting the cord from paid TV and moving to streaming services. Rob Toledo of Extremis is going to join me to discuss why this is. Plus, he's going to give us other streaming news. Thanks for joining me, Rob.
Thanks for having me on.
All right. So a recent study conducted by Deloitte finds more people are cutting the cord than they're subscribing to streaming services. Why do you think people are just cutting the cord?
I think it started as a cost-cutting measure. You know, like a couple, I'd say probably about 5 years ago, it really started to pick up steam as, you know, Netflix kind of became a good substitute for most television at one point, you know, and to pay $10 a month versus, you know, what the average cable subscription is, you know, $60 to $100 a month. You know, it kind of started in this like cost-cutting realm, you know, the way to save, you know, a couple hundred bucks every year, sometimes even in the thousands. But kind of as the streaming services have gotten more popular, I'm starting to wonder if it's less about cost and almost a little bit more about the catalog availability of these streaming services. You know, like I can get most of what I want on Hulu and Netflix, and that's, you know, it's saving me a few dollars as well as offering, you know, a library of originals that I've started to like a lot. And so I think we've started to see a little bit of a shift. I mean, not that it's not still about cost, but, you know, maybe it's more just about the content availability. You know, like, it's really hard to get a Netflix original any other way besides the Netflix subscription. So if everyone's talking about some Netflix show and you haven't seen it yet, well, what do you have to do? You have to go subscribe to Netflix. And so, you know, I think it's become, you know, as we've moved, the trend is moving forward, it seems to be shifting that direction.
At any point, do you think cable's going to get an idea of, hey, we should go a la carte?
And you're starting to see the early phases of that. I think Comcast is dumping a lot of resource into rethinking the way they offer their cable subscription. You know, they have their skinny bundles, you know, their on-demand services are particularly interesting when it's like, okay, we know that you're not actually going to watch the show live, so we'll just shove it into our on-demand library. You know, and I think they're viewing this as like, you know, they're not dumb. They're obviously a savvy business. And so to pretend like this trend is not, you know, or to pretend this trend is going away would be very foolish. So I think that, you know, a lot of these companies are starting to head that direction. What's interesting, though, is on the other side of that, DirecTV rolled out their DirecTV Now service maybe a couple years ago, and we've seen them kind of scaling back on it, which is interesting. Like, they've eliminated some of the available channels, assuming that's a cost reason for them. They've raised their prices, and, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, like, are they either not making it profitable or are they just making some poor business decisions when it comes to offering a streaming service? Like, are they kind of missing the point, you know? So I think it'll be interesting to see what happens with them, because that'll be very telling because they're such a big name.
The thing that's getting me is that personally, I'm getting kind of stressed out by how many streaming services are available. Personally, I have Amazon Video, Hulu, Netflix. Occasionally, I'll do YouTube Red. I have DirecTV Now. And when Disney Plus comes out, I may get that. Right. I'm starting to think, what am I doing? It's becoming too much. I'm thinking of cutting the cord to streaming services. Do you think other people are on the same lines?
You know what? I had this very same thought. You know what happened to me a couple months ago? Like, we had some credit card fraud, and so I had to cancel my credit card number. And, you know, we got a new number in the mail. And, you know, I'm going through all my different, you know, auto pays, and I'm realizing, man, I'm paying for a lot of different streaming services. And, you know, I think the general, kind of what we found when we ran a study maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago, was the general tolerance was for upwards of about three different streaming services, and then the consumer started to feel a little bit overwhelmed. I'm not sure if that number has changed at all, but the market has certainly pushed us further that direction, right? Like, I mean, at the end of the day, like, I'm probably not going to cancel my Netflix in order to sign up for Disney Plus, you know, and I'm definitely going to want it. And then part of me is wondering, well, okay, like, Disney owns a large portion of Hulu now, and so it's kind of like, okay, are those two going to be somewhat redundant? You know, is that going to be what this is going to end up looking like? So do I cancel one of those, or do I just end up signing up for Disney Plus and calling it a day and not worrying about another $10 every month or whatever they're planning on charging? You know, so I don't know if it's a fatigue yet, but I certainly think it's gotten to the point where it's confusing a lot of people. And I think, you know, there still is not a good, simple way to figure out kind of what's on what streaming service. You know, there's search engines that are out there, like I think that there's one called Just Watch that we use pretty frequently that, you know, just kind of shows what's where, that can be helpful. But, you know, at the same time, like, it's really annoying if, you know, let's say, for example, you're using, you know, the streaming services on your laptop or on your tablet or on your, you know, Apple TV or whatever, you know, to have to, you know, kind of go through each service as you're trying to just find something to watch, you know, it's a total hassle. Whereas, you know, it used to be just going to Netflix and just stream through their library for 15 minutes trying to figure out what you wanted to watch. Now you have to do that with each different service.
It's not just that, too. When it comes to, like, Netflix, I can only think of one or two shows that I really look forward to, and some of those were even canceled. So now I'm sitting here like, why do I have Netflix? Some other services, Hulu, I have like one show I watch. Amazon Prime or Amazon Video, I only have that because of Amazon Prime. So HBO Go, you know, Game of Thrones. I feel like maybe I shouldn't even be paying for this stuff. I should just kind of yank it or pirate it offline.
Yeah, I think you're certainly not alone in that frustration. I think it's, you know, kind of as each service produces, you know, more and more original content, but it, you know, especially with Netflix, every month there was just a study release that showed that they basically have passed the tipping point where they are releasing more original content than they are buying third-party content. And that's kind of been their goal all along, but at the same time, I have to be honest, a lot of the quality of those Netflix originals has just fallen off. You know, at first I kind of viewed it as like they're creating this premier content, and it just doesn't seem like that's the case anymore. It's more just a volume thing, right? Like, let's put as many Netflix originals out there for as many different audiences, and, you know, the relevancy certainly falls off the map for me personally. I remember I used to think, you know, if there was a new Netflix original, this is probably 3 years ago, like if a new title in their library said Netflix original, I'm thinking, oh, I have to watch it. It's exciting and new. Now I barely even bother with most of them, you know, because it's just such a crapshoot of what's going to be good or not.
And this brings me to Disney Plus, why I'm excited about it. It's because Disney and Fox, their deal's finally finalized. And I'm curious, you know, what is their streaming service going to have? Is it going to have all the Fox movies in there, right? So this is where their library is going to be humongous.
I would assume, because Disney practically owns the world, that it's going to be probably the largest streaming service launch of all time. Now, and more interestingly than that is, you know, Disney has essentially a printer at their office that just spews money out, and so they can pay a lot of money for all this content, you know. So not only is it going to be the existing Disney and Fox catalogs, it's going to be the addition of new content. They're going to be bidding on the same content that Netflix is bidding on, and so, you know, it's going to give content producers a ton of options on, you know, and there's going to be bidding wars, and there's going to be huge budget shows that all these channels are going to be fighting for. And, you know, I'm a little bit nervous that it's just going to become a Netflix versus Disney war. It might be good for us at first, but, you know, at some point it's going to drive a lot of other players out, I think, which is unfortunate.
So do you think Netflix would lose hands down to Disney?
Oh, man, that is a great question. You know, I don't think so. I think Netflix has enough of a, I hate to say head start, but, you know, they have 150 million subscribers or something absurd. You know, that number is growing still, and I thought at some point that was going to stop. But, you know, they're still growing every quarter. They're, you know, I think they continue to make big plays and spend a lot of money on original content. And I think that they will at least survive for a while. Now, I think it'll shake things up a little bit when Disney launches. But at the same time, like, if I were a betting person, I don't think I would bet against Netflix. They've made too many smart moves already in the past, you know, 10 years of being a really prominent business that makes me think they'll be around a while. That being said, Disney's sure going to make it harder for them. You know, Netflix, I think, has kind of been in a league of its own as far as total subscriber numbers go. You know, like, you know, as an example, like, I'd say probably their next biggest competition is Hulu, and Hulu barely has, I think, 25 million subscribers, so not even, you know, a fifth. I'll be curious to see Disney's subscriber numbers when they launch. Like, how quickly can they get to that 100 million mark? You know, that'll be a really interesting metric to watch.
Now, with Netflix, they got rid of all their Marvel programming. Do you think that was because of the Disney Plus?
Oh, man, I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but yeah, I think so. You know, it just, of course, neither side is going to say that, but at the same time, the argument is pretty clear that, like, you know, okay, like, I'm not dumb. Like, you know, Disney owns Marvel. Disney's about to be competing with Netflix in a big way. Netflix never releases their subscriber numbers, but I have to imagine their Marvel programs were doing at least relatively well. You know, I mean, Daredevil and Jessica Jones certainly, and the other ones certainly had their issues, but I think in general they were popular, and you know, you've kind of seen the outcry in the online, you know, fan communities about these shows, and, you know, Disney's basically saying, well, if we relaunch them, they're going to be all new and blah, blah, blah. You know, so it kind of was collateral damage in this war between the two content giants, I think.
Now, Netflix has been going into this new category of movies, and I'm starting to wonder if Disney Plus comes out and a lot of other streaming services get stronger because they're taking their property back from Netflix. Do you think Netflix should sit there and say, hey, I shouldn't do movies right now? I should concentrate on like original content.
You mean as far as like buying third-party movie titles and whatnot?
Yeah, instead of trying to put them, well, they create their own movies and they put them out in limited release in California. And then,
oh, sure.
Right. And then they could get like Oscars or be nominated for any other award. Do you think they should stop doing that or that's pretty smart to do?
So, for example, you know, they got nominated and I even think they won some awards for that movie Roma.
Yeah.
You know, and I think for them, that's kind of more of a, like, it is important in the entertainment industry to kind of play critical darling every once in a while. You know, you have to win the awards to keep your name out there. And kind of keep your reputation high. At the same time, I haven't really watched a Netflix movie, like a movie specifically that I've thought, wow, this is amazing. You know, like I don't think they've really hit their stride with movies in the same way they have with TV shows. And so now will they figure it out? Maybe, but it certainly has been quite a while. You know, like they paid Brad Pitt like millions of dollars to be in some movie that I thought was marginal at best. You know, I enjoyed Bright from like an entertainment perspective, and you know, but they obviously paid Will Smith a ton of money to be in that. And then there's like, you know, all these Adam Sandler movies and stuff, and then they released Roma as like some attempt at trying to get some Academy acclaim. And you know, it feels like their strategy is all over the place in the original film market. So it just feels like there's some room for improvement there, and I'm not sure if it's going to come anytime soon, but you know, they're still trying.
Now, I read this. I don't know if it's true, but I heard that Netflix might be working with an ad agency so they can start putting ads into, I guess, their streaming service. Is it going to be like Hulu, or is this just a rumor?
I think it's just a rumor. Netflix has pretty much come out and said that there will be absolutely no way they'll ever run ads in a very specific definition of the word ad. But at the same time, you know, you can watch Netflix originals and you'll see product placement in the shows. You know, like House of Cards had product placement for a certain phone type. I forgot what phone it was. You know, in one of the Adam Sandler movies, he's like on a boat and he clearly like pulls this box of Budweiser out of a cooler and like, you know, the logo's like facing the camera. And, you know, like it's like very clearly there's advertising in their shows. Now, they've come out and said, no, we will never have ads on our service. And I think what they specifically mean is a definition of an ad of, like, third-party advertising of, like, you know, some, like, I don't know, car insurance ad running before your show. At the same time, though, you know, they do advertise their originals before some shows, and a lot of people were kind of upset at Netflix, like, that's still an advertisement, you know, but I'm not going to get into the semantics of that, but it was, you know, an interesting conversation they had to have internally, I'm sure.
Netflix has been going into the interactive shows like Black Mirror and now the latest You versus Wild. What do you think of those? Do you think Netflix should keep doing it?
Oh, man, I tried it and I didn't really think it was all that great. Did you try the Black Mirror one?
I wasn't interested. I'm going to be honest. That the whole thing looked weird, right? And it was like, I don't care about your cereal. I'm sorry.
That's kind of where I landed. It was like, I don't find this as engaging as I think they were hoping it would be. Now, at the same time, clearly we have a lot of numbers that suggest people did enjoy it. I mean, but here's my thought, is it's a novelty. I think a few people will try it, and then I think it's going to be diminishing returns. You know, I typically don't sit and watch TV to, like, engage with the TV show. I'm typically doing it to relax. Like, you know, I don't know if you read those Choose Your Own Adventure books when you were a kid, but, you know, what I would always do is, like, I'd look at the options, and I'd flip to the next page and make sure a dragon wasn't going to kill me right off the bat, and then I keep reading before, you know, going back and maybe picking the other option. But, you know, with these shows, it feels just so like a novelty to me that I'm not convinced it's going to stick around for too long. But, you know, then again, with the direction, you know, we might be heading with like VR entertainment, who knows? You know, maybe this is the future and they're just getting out in front of it. But for me and right now, just not for me.
Yeah, it's a bit weird. I mean, if this was football and the players could hear me yell at them, it'd be different. But this is like a movie, right? Like, I don't like this. It's already predetermined. Yeah. So in my mind, this is predetermined. We already know there's only three cereals. An egg was not one of them. It wasn't part of the breakfast, right?
Exactly.
I'm a little curious. We're now in the fourth month of the new year, and believe it or not, MoviePass is still holding on. Can you believe that? And I know that's your baby. That's your baby, Rob.
It was. I tell you what, if I canceled my subscription last, I think it was like kind of mid-late winter, late 2018, and I mean, I honestly, I can tell you, I think I went to probably, I don't know, maybe 30 to 40 movies when I was a subscriber, and I have only gone to maybe one or two movies since I canceled my subscription. And, you know, part of me is just, like, so sad that MoviePass and the movie theaters couldn't reach an agreement. And at the same time, I understand why. You know, it was clearly an unsustainable business model when somebody like me is paying $9 a month and then going to five movies. Like, clearly MoviePass is not... sitting pretty financially. At the same time, from what I've heard from people who are still subscribers, it's kind of a shell of what it once was. You know, it's you're not able to go to as many movies as you want. It's limited movies anyway. So even if you log into the app early in the morning, you have to like be at the theater to pick the movie you want to go to that day. And it just is not the company that it was, you know, a year ago. And I'm not convinced that we'll ever see something like that again. That being said, you know, I think everyone that I've heard that has AMC A-List is pretty happy with it. I've heard cinema, the other competitors struggling. So part of me wonders if it's just the angle here is probably that the theaters end up doing their own programs, and hopefully that works out for some people. But, you know, for me, I've got three or four theaters near me, and they're all different, you know, Regal, AMC, and Lowe's or whatever. And, you know, it's hard to pick one that I want to be loyal to. And I think that's kind of what they're hoping for, though, is that I would do that. So,
yeah, that's a little bit tough for you, having only three theaters. I'm thinking to myself, like, man, I have like a cajillion. And it was so easy to just sit there and say, oh, AMC A-List, like, because there's so many around me. I actually like AMC A-List because you can upgrade to if you buy a medium, you get a large popcorn instead. But I don't eat at all. I don't know why I'm getting a large. I'm just doing it because I can.
And it has other rewards too, doesn't it? I'm not super familiar with it because I haven't used it, but I was under the impression like you could get discounts and stuff like that on some stuff, and it seems like that's probably the direction a lot of like the hardcore movie fans will go, is just kind of these individual, you know, services offered by their favorite local theater.
Yeah, if you save up enough points, you can get free stuff, and I like that.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
You get like a $5 coupon, and the concession stands is what sold me, because, you know, that's what I do. Oh, and they started putting like little bars in there, like for liquor. So you can get drinks and you could take them into the theater. Only one, though.
Oh, that's awesome.
Right? That's what I said, too. I was like, oh, I feel so much like a grown-up now.
I mean, that to me seems like the trend of the theater, too, is more of like an experience and less of just like a let's go see a movie. You know, there's a theater near us now that's like, I mean, it's a restaurant practically as you enjoy the movie. And it's, you know, it's expensive, but like if you're, you know, looking for a night out and you want to combine two activities, it's pretty fun. You know, I've enjoyed going a few times.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. There's one here near me. Well, not near me. It's like an hour away, but it's like a dine-in theater thing. And you get to have drinks, and there's like a waiter that comes, and they like, hey, do you want more beer? And it's like, yeah, sure, keep giving me beer. That's fine. I forgot what movie we were watching. I'm not even sure what movie I was watching. I was eating and drinking, not even paying attention. It was loud in there too, but it was fun.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it. It's an interesting experiment in the movie going world.
So for April, what can we expect? What movies do we have to watch in all the streaming services out there?
Yeah, I think the ones that I'm kind of focused on and looking forward to right now is Amazon's got the season 2 of The Tick coming out. I don't know if you watched the first season, but it was fun. It was, you know, it's exactly what you would expect out of a new version of The Tick. Netflix has I'm going to see if I'm going to explain this right. The second half of season 1 of The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina coming out. I know the fans are excited for that one. They have an original movie coming out called The Unicorn Store. The only thing, the reason I thought this was interesting is the big names that are in it. It's got Brie Larson and Samuel L. Jackson in it. So that should be kind of interesting to check out. And then Hulu has a new show coming out called Rami. And it was produced, the reason I'm interested in this one is it was produced by the studio A24. I'm not sure if you've seen their logo in front of some movies, but they've done some really big movies recently. And so they're moving into TV, which I thought was interesting. So I'll give that one a look, too.
Well, Rob, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate you being here. For those listening, where can they find more information about you?
Yeah, check us out at extremist.com, and hopefully we'll have the latest and greatest news on your favorite streaming services.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Head to WGNradio.com for exclusive content by Mason. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter @MasonVeraPayne, that's all one word, and don't forget to share the show with your friends.